SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, a beautiful spring morning, heading in the right direction in every capacity. Have got quite a bit of information and news. And then, of course, there's the excitement and, I would say, wonderment at the fields that came together yesterday at Santa Anita and Churchill. Churchill first to drop the overnight for Saturday, 1 o'clock first post for an 11 race card that had that had over 200 plus horses entered. Just nuts. And you know, this was expected. It certainly, you know, it's not permanent in terms of every overnight that's going to come out and have these kinds of gatherings in every division from 10 claimers up to, you know, the stakes that'll, you know, be part of the Churchill meet. But it is, it is something else. Nine races with 12 horses each. And then, you know, anywhere from two to four AEs and MTOs, insane. Ben Huffman and his staff were able to scare up six horses to line up against Monomoy Girl. That's the one field that, you know, is a little smaller, but you had to figure it wasn't going to be that easy to generate foes for her. But it is an $85,000 purse. And a 1 mile, the one turn mile, marking Monomoy Girl's return. Florent Giroux aboard. And, yeah, some familiar names in here like, Talk Vive to Me and Fashion Faux Pas, Miss Bigley for Michelle Lovell, Red Dane, Charlie Lopresti, Lady Kate for Keneally. I mean, it's a nice enough field, but, on paper, group, is, seemingly a little overmatched, but you have to kind of figure that. There's also a allowance, or is it a is it an allowance or a claimer? I guess it's a claimer, actually, a nine-horse field. Otherwise, the absolute eye-crossing groups, if you haven't looked yet, you're going to be, I think you're going to be excited by what you see. And there's, you know, a lot, obviously, a lot of horses that are coming off 45 to 75 day breaks and horses making some seasonal debuts. It's terrific. Going to be a lot of fun Saturday at Churchill. And Friday, the fields came together beautifully for Santa Anita. In fact, they were, I think, had to split. I think they had to split a race. I think the eighth. That allowance for fillies and mares, is that the one? Is that the one that they were talking about splitting a race? And, yeah, fillies and mares three and up, which have never won 15. Is that the one? Yeah, they split one race, so there's two divisions, the fifth and the ninth, or the eighth. And nice horses and a nice set of races. A nice mix and match. Some allowances, maiden special, maiden claimer. Turf Sprint starts things off, going the 5.5 allowance and set for Friday at Santa Anita. And you know, as we kind of foreshadowed, I thought yesterday between today with Fawner's Pick 5 Force out, tomorrow Golden Gate starting up and the Golden 6 Force out, then Santa Anita reopening on Friday and Churchill kicking off their season on Saturday. That's a pretty good day by day sequence to look forward to. I printed out some PPs already, but, you know, first things first. We got today and tomorrow to take care of. The other jurisdictions, and there was quite a bit of activity that we can cover. In fact, the Finger Lakes news that I brought up yesterday via Chris Vaccaro and Austin Reed, the HBPA's leadership, they were meeting yesterday and essentially cleared the deck for backstretch opening June 1, they're looking at, and, you know, then racing subsequently. And so we'll talk to Austin Reed about 45 minutes in today, hour one. We'll have Austin join us and provide direction for horsemen. There were emails sent out yesterday after meeting first with Delaware North, Finger Lakes Management, and then with the governor's office. So they've got a plan. Then there's, I'll take this in, I guess, in immediate prospects and then down the road prospects. At Laurel and in Maryland, at 5 o'clock this afternoon, Governor Hogan is scheduled to speak and provide some direction and lay out plans for the state. And they're very confident, they're hopeful, and they're kind of expecting that that will lay the groundwork for Laurel to get started again as soon as next weekend. So nice news out of the Mid-Atlantic, because particularly with the Pennsylvania situation that got murkier yesterday. Most of these jurisdictions are, I feel like they're getting, you know, more definition and providing avenue and roadmaps to, you know, for the, you know, tracks that are, you know, waiting. Pennsylvania got a little murkier based on Governor Wolf's red, yellow, green system of reopening Pennsylvania. And the specific numbers per se, you know, somewhat akin to what Governor Cuomo laid out with, you know, how many, you know, 5 days in a row of, you know, of certain numbers of reported cases and passings. But in Pennsylvania, the parameter appears to be 50 cases per 100,000 people in a county. And it can't go above that for a period of 14 days. Well, that's probably good news for Grantsville, Pennsylvania, for Penn National, and probably for Presque Isle as well. I talked to Todd Mostoller this morning, and, you know, Todd said that for all horsemen to just sit tight right now, can't ship anywhere into Presque particularly, but wait and watch, you know, what happens here as they digest this information. The spot, obviously, that is going to be most challenged by that parameter, I would think, would probably be Bucks County and Bensalem. And we'll talk to Tony tomorrow, and I'm sure Tony's, you know, in touch with plenty of, you know, plenty of people. Doesn't feel like Parks, you know, at least with Parks, the racing facility is completely separate physically from the casino. And I know that there's plenty of venues that are, you know, complicated by, you know, some, you know, some state capitals saying, you know, you can't open until the casino opens. Well, why? I mean, there's not anybody in the casino now anyway. So why can't the racetrack operate the way the various tracks are operating without patrons and with protocols in place that really seem to be working. So the Pennsylvania situation is going to take some dust settling, but yesterday's specifics from Governor Wolf did not particularly apparently sit well with the horsemen and the equine community. So that's Pennsylvania, some Maryland, and some New York upstate, and it would certainly help. You know, frankly, I should be interesting if Finger Lakes. I mean, well, I don't know. It sounds like if they're gonna get ready June 1, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're gonna be open racing any faster than they are downstate. NYRA continues to, you know, to work within these parameters, and it's probably to racing's advantage in downstate that that Belmont is in Nassau County. That'll be a benefit, because you would have to think that, you know, Long Island will be ahead of the five boroughs in terms of, you know, this next level of opening in New York, with first these three regions opening, Mohawk, Southern Tier, and Finger Lakes. So here you go. There's a snapshot of where things stand. Let's tell you what's going on today. We've got a very busy morning and a pretty eclectic one as well. Don't know if you saw the news from NHC and from NTRA regarding a wrinkle, an interesting, fun idea, you know, much along the fantasy sport, you know, make your own league. Essentially, you can craft your own contest. Keith Jamblin's going to join us next after the break and detail it. And we'll also get caught up on you know, how Keith and the team have adjusted. And it is pretty amazing. I mean, how, you know, the contest landscape. I mean, just talking to, for those that were listening to the replay, talking to John Nichols. I mean, it's obviously working okay. John, you know, John taking down a second NHC chair and 14 grand and just missing the BCBC. And a formal congratulations to Roger Satina, Dancing Roger, for his BCBC score. So we'll talk to Keith. We'll get a visit in with Pete as well. At the bottom of the hour, didn't talk to Pete last week, and Austin Reed, as I mentioned, from Finger Lakes. Top of hour two, it is Preakness week, right? Boy, I put up a couple of Preakness-related Baltimore, Charm City, a couple of things yesterday on Twitter in the evening, and people obviously were mighty hungry for it. I was saying how I wish I could have gone to Tasty Zone for a snowball, the ice treat, the icy treat. And then I kicked off a pit beef discussion, too. Pioneer pit beef. Got people missing Baltimore this week, undoubtedly. Well, Blue's going to be here. Leon Blushewicz. Got a bunch of things to talk about with him. Nick Tamaro to look at the Golden Gate sequence. I told you, Heedley Bell is going to join us. Mill Ridge, pay tribute to his mom, who's going into the hall, and much more. Seth Merrow, Jeremy Plonk, stay with us. Keith Shamblin next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, just getting going on this Wednesday midweek. Had to reach out for Keith Shamblin from NTRA, and kind of a relief that this visit with Keith is not about financial support, unless it's winning money at the windows. And in this particular case, wanted to get a contest landscape update because Michelle Ravencraft and Holly Short and Keith been really dancing to the tune that's being played by the available racetracks and coming up with a lot of innovation. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. First and foremost, everybody safe, healthy, etc. All good.
So far, so good. We're having, I guess, what we call it, a soft opening of our offices this coming Monday, and we'll have a couple people back in the office on a kind of a voluntary basis. But you know, a large amount of our staff will continue to telework from home. Because thankfully we're able to do that, but actually looking forward to getting back into the office and a return to some sense of a little bit of normalcy, if there can be
fair
such
enough.
A thing in the world we live in, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And one of the things that I think has kept people sane is you know, having a opportunity to play, and even with limited choices, even on days where there's been one or two venues, that's only growing, you know, starting this week. And you guys have made the most of the opportunities. Let me talk a little bit about some of the adjustments that were made, and then the very fun announcement here in recent days about kind of the opportunity to build your own contest.
Well, that's right. It's been a bit of a moving target for us this winter and early spring in terms of just you know, not knowing if we would have any content on certain days. And of course, it's been great to see how people have reacted to Fonner Park and Will Rogers. And just as it became, those venues became a very popular site for ADW play, they were very popular with contest players, particularly Fonner. And it was terrific to see the reaction. And now with return of some of the major tracks, with Churchill coming online and Santa Anita, hopefully, and others, you know, we'll keep fingers crossed with Naira at some point will come on board. I know they're ready to race. And they've got a terrific protocols in place and a plan for dealing with the environment that we're all living in these days. But hopefully Naira will be back on board soon. But, you know, we were worried going into this pandemic about how we would come out with a lack of live contests and all that. And we're ahead of budget and pace this year. We're on course to have a $3.5 million purse structure at next year, February's NHC. And of course, we've been bumping up against $3 million for the last couple of years, but we've never been able to exceed $3 million in prize money for the tour and the NHC. And I think, knock on wood, this coming February, we might blow past $3 million and be closer to $3.5 million. So it's terrific. We're very thankful to the players for their support, and it's allowing us to lower some of the ratios of some of the contests we'll be running this summer to provide better value to the players. And also, as you indicated, we've come up with this friends and family private contests or private feeders on Fridays that we're going to implement, and where an individual can email Michelle Ravencraft at the NTRA at mravencraft@ntra.com and request to host a private feeder. They'll be sent a link, and they can invite as many people as they want. There has to be a minimum of 9 entries in a contest, but there's an $18 price point, and the whole idea is to invite friends, and hopefully it'll break down some of the barriers of intimidation that I believe have you know, kept people away from trying contests. I'd be much more interested in playing if I could play with 9 of my buddies rather than a bunch of strangers and, you know, top players. Where I feel like a minnow when I participate, this way I can invite my buddies in and have some fun. And, there's ways to hook up chat rooms with these contests. And of course the prize is first prize or there'll be one prize for every 9 entries, and it'll be an entry into a regular feeder, $165 feeder, where you have a chance to play to get into the actual NHC. So we're excited about it. We're going to launch it slowly and roll it out slowly, but we think there's some real potential to grow contest play, and I'm excited about it because, like I said, I think once anybody participates in these contests, they absolutely fall in love with them, but it's just getting them to test it that first time and try it. And we think this is a great way to do it amongst friends and family members. And I'm pretty excited about the potential of it.
Oh, it's a great idea. And I'll, you know what, later today, I'll connect with Michelle and we can set some up, under our banner too. And, have some, you know, have some at the races and Derby Trail. The guys on Derby Trail, they already seized on it, and they want to, you know, they want to have one as well. So very, very clever concept. And in fact, you know, just yesterday, if you, I don't know if you happened to catch John Nichols yesterday, you know, John with that remarkable weekend, and he was talking. He said, you know, he said you can play in. He said start during the week, $18, and you know, for very small money, if you get into a habit and practice, you're going to find yourself, you know, getting into the weekend. And, you know, that's the, you know, that's the only way. I mean, I know there's, you know, players that, that have had instant success, but most often, you know, it's a learning curve. And so, you know, for $18, that's a great, you know, a great way to wade into the action.
No question. And when you're doing, you know, we've been playing with friends on these weekends, watching the coverage on TVG, NBC, or Fox, and playing Oaklawn Park and you know, the other tracks that are available and available to contest players. And if you're doing the homework and you're doping out these races to bet them for real, why not, you know, playing an $18
exactly.
meter right alongside. You know, we've done the homework.
Exactly. And John, you know, John specifically, you know, stressed that. I mean, that, you know, the overlap and the opportunity, you know, whether it's at Horse Players, horseplayers.com and Horse Tourneys. I mean, you've looked at a set of races, and there's, you know, especially these last, you know, these last 6 weeks, 7 weeks. I mean, it's the Saturday action and the midweek action has been, you know, a very finite set, and you've already done the work. So why not? And not only did it pay off for John over the weekend when it came to, you know, winning two out of three contests, he also hit the Rainbow Six Force out. So it was Andy Beyer wrote my $50,000 year at the races. John can write my $50,000 day, my $50,000 Saturday. I love it.
Great to see stories like that. You know, that's what makes this game great. It really does.
Keith, you know, with the, you know, with the return away from the contest scene for a minute, just any general news and you know, just some, you know, some thoughts from you and Alex, and you know, I've tried to make the point repeatedly through this that, you know, the industry has responded, every corner of the industry, and you know, starting with Horse Players and you know, those that own and train, and everybody's had to, you know, make do and make adjustments and sacrifice, and it really does feel like you know, the industry's responded, you know, to this, you know, admirably.
You know, it's been amazing, and our work. I don't, you know, last week, we released a 32-page document on operating racetracks in a spectator-free environment. Took a lot of the best practices from what some of the tracks that are up and operating have been doing, and put those all in one document on our website, made them available, and been talking this week to Monmouth Park officials about what protocols are within in that document that they can pull into their protocols as they move toward getting up and running. And hopefully, you know, we'll see horses shipping into Monmouth, you know, in early June, and of course that I believe the July 3rd is their opening day, and you know, many other tracks are getting on, coming and online in, during the summer, whether it be Ellis Park or some of the smaller tracks in the Midwest. But we want to help them get up and going, get on their feet, and kind of wade through this, you know, all the protocols that need to be put in place to run safe racing for not only our horses, which is always, you know, a high priority, but also for our participants and our employees. that that take care of these horses and of course put on the show every day. So you know, we've got that out, so we'll be working with that. We're working on the next piece of legislation that's being talked about in Congress. There's some interesting details in this legislation. Of course, none of it's law yet, but there's some talk about charitable 501c6s and C3s being eligible for some of this this funding that could be part of the next relief package. So we're paying close attention to issues like that, and you know, just looking out for as many parties that are part of our industry as possible, and making sure that wherever possible we can participate in some of these relief efforts that the federal government's putting forward. But it does look like there's going to be another relief package here in the not too distant future that we want to make sure we're well positioned to for our industry to be a part of. We're also, as we just finished a COVID-19 spectator-free racing document, we're working on version two, which is, you know, could include, you know, how do we get racing back going with fans at the appropriate and safe time, and that could be next year, early next year, or it could be later this year, but we want to be prepared to help the industry get up and going in a spectator an environment with spectators at the appropriate time, and make sure that we're not flat-footed. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, we every day it seems like we're reading something about how some of the major league sports are trying to get up and running. And we're seeing just, I think, all the potential pitfalls and avenues and how difficult it's going to be for baseball or basketball or hockey and football to return in the current environment. So a lot of challenges, but, you know, trying to anticipate what's on the horizon for our industry and how we can help the industry to be well-positioned, you know, for the next salvo throwing our way, because, you know, geez, who would have predicted a couple of months ago that we'd be in the position we are today? But, you know, we've got to get these tracks up and going, and whether it's with spectators or without, I think for the foreseeable future, it's going to be without spectators. So we've got to get them up and going. We've got to figure out how to get casinos up and going, because a lot of our purse money is derived from casino revenues in a lot of these states, and quicker we can get those doors open, the better off the purse structure will be for owners around the country. So it's not just racetracks that we need to get up and going. We need to be looking at that racino revenue as well. So a lot of
on that topic. I had Eric Zimney the other day, because of course they're going to start tomorrow at Charlestown as well, and it's a. You know, to ask him directly, I mean, he's part of the team, but it's probably a tough question, you know, for me to have asked him. But at some point, Keith, out of this, I assume that there's going to be a refocus or more attention paid again, you know, to this topic, because, you know, state coffers are going to be under tremendous pressure for the foreseeable future. And there's, you know, real obvious concern, legitimate concern about, you know, decoupling and, you know, how a state legislature is going to, you know, see those revenues as an easy target. And, you know, I understand how all of this came to be, but there's certainly a large group of vocal critics of, you know, the percentage of venues and jurisdictions that became dependent on the money and didn't necessarily use it to best advantage, whether it was, you know, the opportunity to lower takeout because of that, you know, consistent influx of cash, whether it was proper use of marketing monies to, you know, improve the landscape, improve the venues. You know, Pennsylvania, specifically Philadelphia, is held up under that glare. I mean, at some point soon, this is going to be a question. There's also a school of thought that says if a few of these venues that might never have survived otherwise, if they were to fall by the wayside, it would be probably healthy for the game, because it would redistribute horses, you know, to places that are less reliant or not reliant at all on that money.
I guess I could answer all of the above, what you just mentioned.
Yeah, exactly.
All of the above, and it's going to be a real challenge for our industry going forward to continue to have, you know, I don't like to call them subsidies, but a lot of people do. And, you know, these were access fees paid, negotiated for racinos and casinos to come into markets. You know, these they're right, they're very transparent. And our industry's benefited, whether or not we've taken full advantage of them. I think there are valid criticisms that people have brought up. And what's very clear is there's going to be tremendous pressure on state governments to find additional revenues because their coffers are bare at this point.
Right.
They're going to be looking for every dollar they can find in their existing budgets, and they're going to be looking for new ways to grow revenues, which is, you know, could be an opportunity for our sport, frankly, in terms of growth of sports betting and other things that you know we could participate in, which might have been a long shot in some states prior to the coronavirus, but now, you know, states might be more open to considering other forms of gambling.
Oh, no doubt.
As a revenue, as a way to derive new revenue. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on some of these states to kind of reel that racino money back into the state coffers. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But, you know, I've been a proponent of controlling our own destiny in this space by focusing on our game, and by that I mean historical horse racing, and whether or not, you know, this could be an avenue for growth of historical horse racing. And in fact, if it is pari-mutuel, which we contend it is, and why not mobile historical horse racing down the road, just like ADW, you know, which would have been a real opportunity during this pandemic had it been up and running in some of these states or nationally. But I think, you know, that's our own product. We've developed it thanks in large part to Oaklawn and Oaklawn Park and Amtote. But, it, you know, it's growing there. You know, there are a lot of different options out there nowadays and ways to participate. And I think we need to be looking at other sources of revenue to build on racino dollars that states are receiving or tracks in certain states are receiving, or come up with alternatives. And that, to me, is a viable alternative.
Well, Keith, I appreciate that and the answer and the insights, and appreciate the visit, the opportunity on Fridays for feeder put together your own team, mravencraft at ntra.com, and we'll put an At the Races Derby Trail group together for those that we need nine, at least nine. Is there a max? What's the overhead? Doesn't it matter at that point? If you get 50, you get 50.
Doesn't really. Yeah, we're adding one spot or one entry into a $165 feeder per every nine entries. So if somebody wants to put together a team of 50 friends and family to play, they could be competing for five spots in an NHC qualifier.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
It'll grow as the contest grows, the prizes grow.
Keith Shamblin, I appreciate it. Let us know if there's anything, whatever comes along, we need to communicate.
Thank you, Steve. Stay safe.
You too. Keith Shamblin, everybody. Good news in Lexington as they're going to do, as Keith called it, a soft opening of their office. And, it is one of those, you know, kinds of jobs that you can more easily work remotely, but there's also the occasion where, you know, you need to be hands-on. We're going to stay right here. We've got two more visits this hour yet, and Austin Reed going to join us in a little bit after we catch up with Pete Fornatel. He's looming boldly in Brooklyn. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you, Steve. Good to be back here with you on At the Races.
Give us an update, catch up on everything going on that you've been doing, and you got a lot of homeschooling to take care of with Perrin, and are you sneaking out to Prospect Park at all? I should know this because my son Spencer is, you know, working in the parks department as the assistant to the director, and I know that they monitor the park. What's been going on in Brooklyn?
Yeah, we are encouraged to go out and get exercise. So Prospect Park, funny enough, that is where I was just this morning. I got in a good
nice.
8 miles or so. Got up super early to get the workout in, and that's been great. I was multitasking as I was on hold with you, trying to get Perrin into her morning Zoom class that they have little meetings, and then most of the days are taken up with that. I will occasionally get her on her assignment so I can look at the likes of Fawner and Will Rogers and Tampa and Gulfstream have been playing and keeping very busy, been a regular on Sky Sports Racing the last few weeks, doing full shifts on Thursday and Saturday, turning the Brooklyn Bunker from a podcasting/radio studio into a TV studio. So that's been a lot of fun, actually. We've had some good nights on there, and it's just so interesting getting even more well-versed in what kind of wagering opportunities are available there. I love to see the things that, you know, we can learn from them and also what they can learn from us. I get a lot of questions about things that in American racing that work that could be applied to them. And I think about multi-race pool betting when priced correctly, how great that can be, and betting what they would call betting competitions, what we call a handicapping contest. I think there's a lot of room for them to pick up on that stuff. And then, you know, we've got the network. It has been flying, especially JK has this new show, the JK Plus One, where he's doing these long sit-downs where he gets, and he's really doing his detective work and homework and getting all the right stories to provoke maximum embarrassment in his guests. And they've been doing great. Matt Bernier trucking along with great evergreen content, as well as keeping abreast of what's going on. Spencer Lugenbuehl with the educational element on Red Board Rewind, and our latest show from Naomi Tucker, Talk Racing to Me, where she's done a variety of things with great guests and also had a great preview of Arkansas Derby weekend. So it's been kind of nice for me to, I'm doing a little bit less on my own network with all the TV stuff, but it's great that the good content keeps flowing, and I'm looking forward to getting back and keeping things rocking and rolling with our Horse Player Happy Hours on Friday and our regular shows. There's been, I can't relate to the people, Steve, who talk about how much time they have on their hands in quarantine. I'm busier than ever.
Well, exactly, and I think it's out of, you know, it's just out of interest and necessity. You find things, water seeking its own level in terms of, you know, things that whether it's straightening up. I mean, there's been all kinds of, I think, entertaining and engaging content that from people just, you know, opening boxes. How about Hammer? You know, David Aragona and his father unearthing all their programs is terrific. And Hammer did the same. He's finding records and you know, 45s and it's pretty funny. I've done the same thing. I've found a bunch and I still got more to do. But it's you know, whether it's work or whether it's you know, the kind of thing you're doing around the house, there's catching up on reading, whatever it is, people are finding themselves, you know, the ways to stay engaged. And the racing is only going to, you know, fill up more time now.
It's amazing.
The European stuff is now really seeming, you know, to pull out of the station. Germany last week, France this week. You know, I guess I talked to John Parada the other night. He says Ireland is a little bit mired because of the three separate governments involved.
It seems a little directionless at the moment. Hopefully they're gonna at least come up with a plan and find a way to work with government. UK seems to have more of a plan that seems to involve, you know, hopefully a June return. But I mean, right here in the USA, it's just as much as I've enjoyed racing as a distraction during the time at the tracks I mentioned before, the idea that we're going to get Santa Anita and Churchill back at the same time, it's going to be, I think, really interesting for horse players to be able to flex their skills in a different way. Not that, like I said, I've really enjoyed what's been going on. But is a big difference when the horse is running at the same meet over and over versus one of the signature meets of USA Racing starting up. I think there's going to hopefully be that many more opportunities for horse players. I know from a contest point of view, you know, Churchill doesn't factor in, but having Santa Anita back and having Santa Anita and Golden Gate offers an opportunity for a whole new slate of contests. And in fact, for our horse players happy hour this week, I think, is going to be all Golden Gate and Santa Anita starting. We're going to start a little bit later at 4:30. I think I'm going to be wrapping a sky shift, so I'll leave it to JK and Matt Bernier to bring in the broadcast and kick things off with our over on horseplayers.com. But then I'll hopefully be able to join them for at least the second half. And I just think it's going to just be a nice breath of fresh air to have those meets back in action.
Yeah.
I personally can't wait. And then, of course, hopefully New York not too far behind. I mean, that's really going to put a smile on my face when we get to see racing in New York again.
Well, Charlestown starts tomorrow as well on Thursday. We talked to Eric Zimney. You know, for those Ruidoso next week, Combaya, they're going to run some thoroughbred races, but some combined action with the quarters. So it's coming. Mountaineer starts the 31st, and we got an exciting update this morning from Sal Sinatra. They're hoping that Governor Hogan's news today, his 5 o'clock press gathering, clears the way that Laurel could even start next week. So
that's exciting.
It's all exciting. Yeah, it's getting there.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. Well, no, I was going to say with Laurel, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, and Golden Gate, that means Stronach 5 is
going to
come roaring back.
We were racing each other to that observation. And that, I would imagine, will definitely mean we can bring back our Stronach 5 show, which I'm excited to do. But more importantly, just my favorite bet. So it's a chance to get that back online, which, you know, I mean, it didn't – who knows? Let's wait until everything happens. But I would have – if you told me a few weeks ago the projected return of that bet, I would have signed on immediately for what it looks like it's going to be. So that's some optimism there. So that's very exciting. We hope that we get those potential gains consolidated with more good news out of Maryland, and that things continue without a hitch in California. Very exciting stuff.
Well, including today, the one venue we haven't mentioned, Tampa, adds to the Fauner and Will Rogers action today. Will Rogers, you know, I didn't mention yesterday, Will Rogers on Monday I mean, the fur was flying. there were some crazy numbers, and you had a 20 to 1 shot, a 36 to 1 shot. Then you had that dead heat. And I tell you, this is there anything worse than this? You had a nickel claimer, and then the sixth race, and a 76 to 1 shot ends up dead heating with a horse that went off at 13 to 2, and you had your price kind of slashed, obviously, and instead of paying close to $160 for the win, you had to settle for $69.60 as the mutual win tote got split with Indy Pirate and Nutella. As it happens, the 76 to 1 shot paid $73.60 to place. Unbelievable.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's been fun. And there's, people have, they've taken to it, and talked to Chris Katulak yesterday for today's force out at Fonner Park. And they're going to trim one day. If you missed any of this, they're going to trim next Wednesday out of the last couple of weeks. So after today, 5 race cards left at Fonner Park, and about the same actually at Will Rogers as well. So, Pete, I appreciate it. Be watching and listening. You talk about Friday. That's become a big hit. And also, of course, on Thursdays, you've got the Breeders' Cup Happy Hour with Brittany Erton and with Nick Luck, and they've been bringing in a parade of guests. Pretty much everybody's responded. Yeah, everybody has gone the extra mile to keep players and fans engaged and stakeholders informed. So stay healthy, stay safe, and keep Perrin on the straight and narrow, too.
It's time for my schooling to begin. Her Zoom is about to wrap up, so our timing here was perfect. Thank you, Steve. Always great to catch up and get a chance to communicate with the listeners, and let's do it again soon.
Pete Fornatel, everybody, Looms Boldly on Twitter, and the In the Money Players podcast, and much, much more. Lots of options, and lots of engaging material. We'll stay right here, and I promised you Austin Reed from the Finger Lakes HBPA after he and Chris Vaccaro. Busy day yesterday, meeting with Delaware North management from Finger Lakes, and then with the governor's office, and essentially, paving the way to a plan to get Finger Lakes up and running. Austin, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Steve?
Austin, well, and hope everybody in Farmington and in the environs, everybody kind of, treading water and just kind of waiting and seeing. They got good news, though, from the governor's office when Cuomo announcing 3 regions in the state out of the 10, and the Finger Lakes region, one of them. And it seemed like that opened the door for you and the team to start to lay out a plan.
Yeah, we obviously have been faced with many struggles here in New York, as many other states, and we're a little behind the eight ball on this one, but the numbers have looked good for the Finger Lakes region, and we appreciate working with the governor's office and our local leaders in trying to get us reopened here at Finger Lakes and racing again in the near future.
What is the current plan? Do you have a kind of a firm that June 1st target to open the backstretch?
Yeah, so obviously our president of Vaccaro and our board of directors are faced with many tough decisions and adjustments to our schedule this year. We've been working with Finger Lakes Racetrack and our local leaders, and we are in a holding pattern right now, but we are tentative, awaiting state approval to open the backside on June 1st and race in early July. A lot is based on BLT revenue as well, but we have got to get our horses and our horsemen on this backside training, just like Belmont is, so we don't lose them to nearby states that are opening up a little bit before us.
Regarding that, it's not unusual for the Finger Lakes outfits, those that are in and around central New York and in the region, you know, to give the horses the winter off. Some will, you know, a guy like Mike Lassesi, he'll go down to Florida, you know, with some of his, you know, some of his horses that would be eligible to run Tampa and Gulfstream. But give everybody a feel for how they're making do right now, where they're training, you know, training on the farm and, you know, light work to, you know, to stay ready. So when they get to the racetrack, it won't take much to gear up.
So one of the best parts about our small community at Finger Lakes is the mom and pop operations that give these horses the winter off, which is great for the horse. You know, they don't run year round and they have Eurosizers. Some do on jogging machines. And then by opening the backside and trying to get about 6 weeks of training into these horses, they'll be more prepared to go on early July. But they have been faced with struggles, as we all have. And that's why our board of directors and President Vaccaro made the decision to give these stimulus checks that Finger Lakes allowed us to hand out to all our owners and trainers based on their start production in 2019 meet, and that was a little assistance that helped these guys get through the last couple tough months of this pandemic.
That was such a nice gesture and concept, and actually, you know, reported on it at the end of April when you came up with it. And in fact, Sid Fernando, you know, Sid, I know, I think really championed the idea and was struck by what a generous and smart response it was, because, you know, essentially owners and horsemen, they're creatures of habit, and so having a certain date, you know, when they shut down in December, you know, the idea is, well, I got to make it, you know, 75 to 90 days, and you know, then we'll get started. And so, you know, you budget for that. And so to have, you know, to have Lucy move the football, put a strain, and this was a, you know, this really was, I mean, it wasn't a lot of money, but it was probably, you know, incredibly valuable exactly at the right time.
Yeah, a lot of our trainers are faced with calls where their owners are like, we're going to have to move to nearby states and that are opening sooner, and this was able to help pay a couple of the farm bills, just be a little bit more patient as we work with the governor's office, you know, and trying to get the safety protocols and the safety rules put in place of how we're going to open. And, you know, being united with the Finger Lakes management team, as well as Rob Williams and the New York State Gaming Commission, following the protocol set up by Eric and the National HPPA, you see all the tracks. I mean, I see Woodbine today, just which is nearby us as well. Everybody just getting in the process and protocols and then just waiting for the okay from the state to start racing.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to getting every venue that expects to and is scheduled to, you know, to run. Give us a feel for what will happen, you know, once the gates open and once you know that you're going to be able to start. How do you adjust? I know with New York downstate, NYRA has, you know, a certain set of race dates that they're essentially obligated to run. They can ask the state, you mentioned the Gaming Commission, they can ask for adjustments to schedule. Is Finger Lakes under that same guideline in terms of mandated race dates?
Yep, we are under the same guidelines. New York State Gaming Commission has approved our racing schedule, which had 127 race days starting late April to the end of November. We are making adjustments based on our purse revenue from VLT machines and based on when the governor is going to allow us to race. You know, we're hearing some good rumors out of NYRA that late May would be a good start date for NYRA, and obviously when they can get started, we will be able to come up with some type of race dates. But our priority right now is getting our horses on the backside so that we can get the 5 to 7 weeks of training that they require after being off for the last 5 or 6 months. And following the safety protocol set up by Rob Williams, Dr. Palmer, and the Gaming Commission that we're fortunate to have.
Well, and you know, it's funny you mentioned the 5-6 weeks of training. I have seen on the overnights already at some of the venues that would have typically been either running, you know, continuing to run through the winter into the spring, or those that were going to be spring meets, and including NYRA, talking about horses having to work out at least twice. They're looking for two workouts in terms of horses that would otherwise, you know, if they've been off more than 30 days, you know, one workout. But I saw where NYRA made that distributed text to horsemen that it'll be a two workout minimum to then make an entry once entry starts. So that's obviously safety protocol and making sure horses are fit and ready to run.
Yeah, definitely. I saw the main track open yesterday, which was another good sign, you know, just to have all the training options available for the horses. And who knows? I mean, I was hoping you would get some good news on the Saratoga region. I think we all still want to see racing at Saratoga, and hoping that I see the big push for the businesses to get some sense of normalcy back to the Saratoga region this summer as well.
I thought that the governor's layout and the fact already that the Mohawk Valley region was part of these first three sections of the state that are being given the early okay to reopen, Finger Lakes, Southern Tier, and the Mohawk Valley, and I thought that was a good sign for the leather stocking and for the Adirondack region and so forth, Capital District. That seems to indicate that we're going to be in position, that it'll be some of the resistance that was seemingly emanating from the Capital District about having staff come up from New York and summer up here. I'm confident that some of that concern will be alleviated, especially if Long Island and Nassau County, if they get green lighted too, that should alleviate a lot of the pressure. So the Saratoga summer without fans, it feels much closer to happening than it did maybe 2 weeks ago.
Definitely, our board passed the spectatorless racing here at Finger Lakes with the idea that we can handle the safety protocols and the temperatures, the facial masks, and the social distancing around the barn area to keep everybody safe and still continue with this great sport.
Austin Reed, well done to you, Chris Vaccaro, Delaware North, who is ready to ready to go and get the horsemen back and preparing for the summer season at Finger Lakes, and of course the team. There's other things that in a regular environment, the Purple Haze second career program, which has been a mammoth success and operates, very quietly. And I don't think, when it comes to the retirement community, Purple Haze deserves tremendous accolade and recognition that, taking horses that are, frequently, really at a certain level in the game and repurposing them, finding them homes. I know some people, some people are dismissive of, the tracks that, aren't the banner attractions, but Finger Lakes is an important part of the New York Bred program and, got to get you guys up and running as well. So stay with it, and whatever we need to pass along, let me know.
Yeah, we appreciate that. I mean, Wanda Policini is a key player in their My Purple Haze stable, and FLTAP.org is our Thoroughbred Adoption Center, and our Twitter is at the Finger Lakes HBPA for all updates on safety protocol and soon-to-be start racing dates and calendars.
Outstanding. Austin, thank you for this. I appreciate it, and good luck. Stay safe.
All right, Steve, we appreciate all you do for racing.
not at all. Austin Reed, everybody, Chris Vaccaro and the HPPA team at Finger Lakes getting a path toward a return. We're going to return with one of the institutions on this show, particularly Preakness Week. And we've had Leon Blushewicz, the one and only Blue. He's been visiting on Preakness Week to pass along the best you ever ate crab cake recipe. But there's a bunch of things to talk about with Blue. And I don't think he was too happy with the Triple Crown Derby. yeah, considering that Blue had seen almost all, I don't think he saw Sir Barton, but he saw all the other Triple Crown winners. And so he could be considered an authority on how they might have, you know, spilled out of the gate and who would have won. And Secretariat fans, you may want to change the channel. I'm going to warn you right now. Blue famously is rough on Big Red. But there's other things too. Blue's rolling. He's got that filly that he had pinhooked. Actually, bred, not pinhooked, but bred. And she's in Europe. And you know, she won at the end of last year. He'll tell you about that. We also have to pay tribute to the late Buzz Baylor. And Buzz and his brother, of course, the Prime Rib in Baltimore and now many other locations. I had not realized. I knew he'd been sick, and we had passed that along over the last couple of years. But we lost Buzz in November, and I'm sure Blue will have some just wonderful things to say, because he was important, and not just, you know, to Blue and who trained for him. My man Siaka, Gary, trained for Buzz, and he was a huge fan of the game and an incredibly generous person in overall. And it's very sad. His health really declined late in his life, and it's too bad. But we'll generally be very upbeat about things with Leon Blushewicz. He joins us next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number1st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back.
ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races, 10 minutes into hour two, and one of the great traditions on this show, going now, I don't know how when it started, but it's been a long time, and everybody looks forward to it, and even though there's no Preakness on Saturday, it doesn't mean you can't go get yourself some jumbo lump crab meat and make yourself Blues, best you ever ate. Crab cakes, by popular demand.